Well, today is our first lesson in parenting class, and first of, Lord willing, about 10 lessons. And you might be saying, Brother Chad, your kids are like 2 and 6 months. I know, I get it. Here's the cool thing about our title. It's called Parenting God's Way. And I recognize that I have not been a parent for 18 years, and there are a lot of things that I have not experienced that maybe some of you have. I have dealt with kids for quite a while, 5 years or so, but it's not the same as parenting, and I'm not going to try to pretend like it is. But here's the cool thing about what we're doing in our lessons these next few weeks is we're not parenting Brother Chad's way. And if we were parenting Brother Chad's way, it'd be a disaster. We're going to parent God's way. And the Bible's very clear. We're going to see today that parenting is a confusing thing. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. And there are a lot of opinions about how parenting should work or does work. It's a confusing thing. And if you listen to one, you're automatically going to be messing with a lot of people's advice. I remember when I had Myla, she wasn't even born yet, when my wife was pregnant with Myla, and I got all the parenting advice, you know? And you're like, I have to take everyone's advice because they all know better. But here's the problem. If I take this person's advice, then I'm totally ignoring that guy's advice. Because it's a confusing topic. And I'm thankful we don't have to rely on man's opinion on this. God's very clear. And so, and it's more than what you think. It's more than just, it's not just like, do this and everything will be okay. It's a multifaceted, very robust way of raising children that's throughout the Word of God. So we're going to get into that today. And so we're just going to jump right into our lesson this morning on parenting God's way. So everyone has a lesson, everyone has a pen, and we're going to go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right into our lesson today. Yeah. Yes, sorry. If you don't have one, they're right over here. Did you get one, Michelle? Okay, yeah, all three of you, just go ahead and grab one. Yeah, no problem. My fault. I had to run to go get some pens, and I didn't get to tell everybody where they were, so no problem. Okay. Also, I want to say this. We're doing it God's way, and we're doing it the way, following this book that talks about how to parent child God's way, because, you know, if you just want to search your Bible for the word parenting, it's going to be hard, but this guy did a lot of work, and so the book that we're going to be going through heavily influenced this lesson is called Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. Now, if you want to buy the book, I recommend anybody on the whole planet to buy the book, whether they're in this class or not. But if you want to buy the book, it might help you, but you don't have to buy the book for this class. I'm not going to be like referencing pages or anything. I'm going to be very thorough just in the teaching of the class. I'm actually going to say some stuff that's not in the book too. But if you want to read the book and follow along, what we're covering, the material that I'll be using from this book is the introduction and chapter one, which is Behavior Flows from the Heart, I believe. If you have the book, yeah, let's chapter one. So read the introduction. The introduction is really important. Sometimes when we read a book, we just ignore the introduction, but don't do that. It's really important. And chapter one, and then some stuff that I've done myself. But then next week, if you want to look at it, it's kind of funny, but we're jumping all the way to chapter 15, I believe. And when you read that chapter, you'll know why I did it this way. Not 15. Let's see. Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is what we're going to cover next week. So if you want to read up and be ready for next week, a lot of what we're going to be talking about is out of chapter 12. Okay, so the book, that's all I'm going to say about the book. So I'm going to put this to the side. If you want the book, get with me. If you don't, honestly, you don't have to have it, but it is a great book. And so, all right, well, let's pray and we'll get right into our lesson today. God, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here in your house. Thank you for what today represents. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for, Lord, their heart for their children. And Lord, even as evidence today, the ladies that are here have a heart for their children, and they want to know how it is that you would have us to parent our children. I pray that you bless them, Lord, and help them. Help us all, Lord, even us as fathers, and then even us that maybe don't even have children in the home but are very heavily involved with children, whether that's in a different family relationship or just in ministry. I just pray that you help us to raise our children the way that you'd have us to, and avoid the trap of following what we think is best or what the world says is best, but to trust your way. And I pray that you'd bless that way. And I pray that you bless this lesson today. Help me to be clear, be a good teacher, and help us to understand what it is you'd have us to this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right into our lesson. And the introduction is a little bit different than how I normally do it, because I have a lot I wanted to say in the introduction. And if I didn't do it this way, it was like a page and a half of just paragraphs. Okay, so we're just going to jump to the introduction this way. And I thought this was an appropriate way to start off parenting class, is this. Parents are often frustrated and confused. Is that true or not true? I think it is. As I talk to parents, like I said, my children are 2 and under, but I have dealt with junior church kids for years, and bus kids, and I deal with parents. And as I talk with them, this is just, it seems like a pretty prevalent thing in our society, is, I just don't know what to do. Or how about number one, under that, children often don't act like they should, and parents don't understand why. And they say, I don't understand. I tell them, they hear me, I know they hear me, but they don't do it. And they're frustrated. That's what frustrated means. Frustrated doesn't really mean angry, like I'm upset. Frustrated means I thought it was going to be a certain way, and it's not. And my plan that I had has been frustrated, you see? And I think a lot of parents feel that way. It has been said, I don't know if you've heard this phrase, children don't come with an instruction manual. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, they come, but there's no instruction manual with them. I mean, you get an instruction manual with everything nowadays. Like, I need instructions to know how to flip the on switch. We have that. But for children, really, to be honest, one of the most involved and complicated things that we do, no manual. Can I say that's actually not true? There is a manual, and we're going to go into that. But that is a common phrase that I've heard. Too often, parents come home from the hospital with a brand new life and are left to figure out how to nurture, care for, and raise them. And I think that happens more than we want to admit, where parents have children and they're excited about the pregnancy, but really haven't thought, like, I have a human life now that I'm responsible for, and maybe haven't done a lot of preparation for that, getting counsel. But here's the reality of it. Doesn't matter how much counsel you get, you're not ready. Whenever you have a brand new life in your arms and you're bringing it home, and then the weight is there. How about this? Parents of little children live in mortal fear of adolescence. Isn't that true? What's adolescence? Teenagers. Yeah. And you have kids. The next one, parents of teens continually remind them that their day is coming. Yeah, Mila's sweet now. That's what I get a lot. Yeah, she smiles and she says, yes, daddy, right now. You wait. And don't worry. The moment I found out it was a girl, I was freaking out about adolescence. It's already started. And so that there's that. We know it's coming. There's a day when we won't be bigger than them anymore. Right? And often, if we're honest, sometimes not smarter than them anymore. And they start figuring stuff out, and then you have no, you know, and there's that. And they start thinking that you're the worst person ever, and you're trying to control their life, and all of that. And we fear that. We fear that. The expectation is that as the children get bigger, the problems get bigger. Can I say this? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But that is kind of the running joke, and if we're honest, kind of the running reality in a lot of situations, that children are sweet as children mostly, and there's some exceptions to that, and then they get older, and then what happened? I remember when I was, I don't know, 13, I remember my mom telling me, you used to be such a happy child. What happened to you? And I feel like I'm not the only teenager that's heard that. And so, anyway, that's kind of the state of parenting today. Many parents have come to the conclusion that the job is impossible. It's just not possible. Well, what does that mean? They give up? They just send their kids away? Well, sometimes, but not usually. Usually they don't physically give their kids up, but a lot of times they, for all intents and purposes, do give their kids up. And kids have left the home well before they've left the home. They decide that their main job is to be a caretaker of their children. This is my job. This is what parenting is. Give them food they need, give them the shelter they need, provide them with some kind of decent education, and as long as they survive to the end of high school, then I have done my job as a parent. And I've heard that, and in some ways, you are doing a great job if you get them food. And that is a big deal, to get them food and get them shelter and get them education and that they live to see the end of high school. These are good things. But I always submit to you that parenting is a little bit more than that. And that's a sarcastic, it is more than that. Yeah. And so they just, but oftentimes parents get so frustrated, they get so confused, they just give up, and they just become caretakers. Letter C. Others turn to the society. That's the blank. Others turn to the society and culture to learn how to parent their children. Can I say this? That's very, very confusing. And we've already touched that a little bit. But to go to our society and ask just anyone out there, how is it that you raise your children? If you examine how our society raised children in the 50s, anyone grow up in the 50s? No, I don't have to raise your hand. But that's a much different time. And the way that we raised our children in the 50s and then how children are raised today, then you know that our society and our culture cannot make up their mind on how children are to be raised. If you went in a time portal and went to the 50s, you would be shocked to see what children, how they're treated and how they act. And to be honest, some of us are like, yeah, that's the way it should be. And we agree with the 50s. Mentality and not so much with the today's mentality. And obviously there are others that are on the opposite end and say they're animals for the way they treated their children back then and we're doing it right today. And here's the thing is that's just two I would say extremes on a spectrum of ideas that our society has for raising children. In the 50s, children were to be seen and not heard. You ever heard that? Children are to be seen and not heard. Now, you guys didn't put blanks. Did I give that to you, or did you guys already know what that was? Everybody knew, probably. Did I just give it to you? No. But everyone probably knew what that blank was. Children are to be seen and not heard. The mentality was, you listen to me, kid, or you'll wish you did, right? And that was the adult. And by the way, that wasn't just parents. That was every adult. And if a child talks back to an adult, that was a bad day for a lot of reasons. And it seemed to work. Children seemed to obey. They were outwardly submissive. And while it seemed to work at the time, what it did is produce bitter children in the long run. And I would submit to you that a lot of the reasons of the problems we have today are because of the way parenting was done in the past. And I will submit to you that in 20 years from now, it's going to be a lot like it was in the 50s because we're going to get to the place where adults are like, listen, children, seen and not heard. And the pendulum of our society just swings back and forth and back and forth. Today's parents seem to have thrown off authority altogether. Yeah. And there are problems with the seen and not heard mentality, but there are obviously problems with the other mentality as well, where there is no authority. Our society have changed the way they think about authority. It's no longer acceptable in our society for dad to be the boss of the home, or even parents at all to be the boss of their children in any way. And authority is gone. And I'm not going to get into it, but we're attacking our police, we're attacking every authority we have, and it's like authority equals bad. And that's kind of where our society is right now. And so children no longer sit in neat rows in school, at least not for very long. They'll pretty much get free rein to the classroom, free rein to the bus. Anyway, children no longer ask permission to speak. They just kind of blurt it out. They no longer fear the consequences of talking back to their parents. And while in the 50s, children were to be seen and not heard, today children are encouraged to express themselves. That's what we say. You just express yourself. You be who you are. And it doesn't matter what that means or how that affects others or how annoying it is to the rest of the kids or really, to be honest, how detrimental it is to your life. You just do what you think is best. Not going to be good in the long run, I promise you that. And what I'm not doing is condoning the ways that parenting was done in the 50s, but at the same time, I'm not condoning the way that parenting is done in our society. They're two extremes, and we really need to land somewhere in the middle, and let's look at our next point. Oh, wait, let's finish up this point. The point is, if you look to society for your parenting advice, you will leave more confused than when you started. It's the truth. Because there's a lot of opinions out there. And so what do we do? Letter D, the only safe guide to parenting is the Bible. God's way of parenting, I should say, do not sway. I don't know what I was thinking right there. To sway. God's way of parenting do not sway with the tides of the culture. Because here's the thing, you can even if you were somehow to figure out exactly how parenting ought to be done today, you wait 3 months. I mean, things change. And then you'll be trying to figure that out too. And the Bible is not that way. And God's way has been God's way since the beginning. God's ways does not sway with the culture. God's word has given us a plan for parenting that is robust and complete. It presents an accurate and comprehensive picture of children, parents, family, life, values, training, nurture, and discipline, and all that you need to be equipped for the task of parenting. It's all here in the pages of the Word of God. And that's what we're obviously going to be doing for these next 10 weeks or so. God's ways are not inadequate. And sometimes I think parents feel that way. God's ways just don't work. They're not enough. That's just not true. God's ways are simply just not tried. And I think our knee-jerk reaction is to go ask somebody, and that's not a bad thing. Counsel's good, but without even considering what God's way is. Here's the biblical vision of parenting. It's right out of the book, The Shepherding of Child's Heart. The biblical vision of parenting is this. It involves being a kind authority. Now, we're going to talk about this a lot more later on, but the 50s were heavy on authority, and today are heavy on kind. And if you leave out one or the other, it's a big problem. If you're an authority that's not kind, you produce bitter children. If you have no authority and you're only kind, you produce rebellious children who live their own way. And really just by default, because who's telling them what to do? They're going to tell themselves. And both of them are very dangerous. What the Bible puts forth is a kind authority, shepherding your children to understand themselves in God's world and keeping the gospel in clear view so your children can internalize the good news, and here's the cool part, and someday live in mutuality with you as people under God. And eventually the goal is whenever they become adults, they won't be just your child, they'll be a peer with you, living for God and raising their families, and you'll be able to walk alongside them instead of over them. That's kind of the idea. Yep. That's what it said in the book. Yeah. Yep. Right there in the book. It's quoted right out of the book. Letter E. In the rest of this lesson and the next lesson, we will go over some basic issues that will give biblical shape and structure to our parenting. And so if you notice, the lesson title is this, Parenting Fundamentals Part 1. And so we're going to go over two of them, and next week we'll go over the other two. And here they are. The existence of God, we're going to deal with that. The heart determines behavior, we'll deal with that today. And the other two for next week, we'll talk about appealing to the conscience and then the centrality of the cross of Christ. And so for this week and next week will be a lot of fundamental, foundational stuff, and then we'll start getting more specific as we go along, okay? Are we doing good so far? Yeah. Any questions so far? So the first thing we need to know that really needs to, before we learn, because here's the thing, we can just start talking about specific and practical things right up front. And to be honest, I know that will keep our attention better, because it'll be like, we can just go home and do something. And there will be some practical things at the end of this lesson, but there's no reason to jump into practical stuff until we have these things down, okay? So these are some fundamental things, and really most of it is a mindset and the way we think about parenting that we need to have before we move on, okay? And so the first one is this, the existence of God. God exists. Yeah. Yeah. Letter A. We live in God's world. We have to understand that. By the way, not only us have to understand that, and our children need to understand that. And I know that sounds obvious. Oh, so God's real. Oh, didn't know that. Thanks, Brother Chad. Yeah, no, but here's the thing. It's fundamental for a home that wants to operate God's way. Doesn't that just make sense? If you want to do things God's way, you have to know God is real and involved. Yeah. Do you actually live like you believe that God is real? Or do you really only think about him on Sundays? God is not just someone that we need to think about on Sundays to ease our conscience and to feel good about ourselves. God should affect every day of our life. God is real all the time. God is interested in your life every day of the week. And he's interested in us following him. Do your children have a fundamental biblical understanding that they live in a world that God has made and they are accountable to him? Do your children understand that? Or, like I say, is it only something they hear about when they come to junior church? I should have put the lesson, maybe next week I'll start off with this verse, but in Deuteronomy, I don't know the exact title, but it talks about how that parents are to talk about God when they wake and when they sleep and when they're along the way. And the main teacher and the main, we can say it this way, preacher for a child, the main person who's going to instill the fact that God is real and we live in his world and we are accountable to him is going to be the parent. And I can tell them in junior church and they can learn about it in Patch and they can learn about it in Sunday school, but if they leave here and then they learn, practically speaking, I mean, that God really doesn't exist and we can just really live however we want and as long as we go to church on Sundays, well, it's going to be hard to get that in their soul and live in that way, you see. That's the job of the parent, primarily. Yeah. God has a way to be a parent. God has a way to be a child. Are you willing to parent God's way because he is God? Or will you only parent God's way if you are convinced it will actually work? I think that's a good question. We need to have faith that God's way is the best. Nothing we're going to say in the next 10 weeks will matter unless you, by faith, decide that God's way is best when it comes to parenting. Letter B, there are consequences to behavior. There are consequences to behavior. And the reason there are consequences to behavior is because you are accountable to God. And so are your parents, so are your children. And you need to understand that. And it kind of helps in some ways to say, listen, I'm your authority. We'll talk about this later on, about how authority really works. I'm your authority, but really, both of our authorities is God. And God has made me the parent, and God has made you the child. And we're both accountable to him. And that helps a lot. And there's reasons why that helps. And when we get to that lesson, it's going to be really eye-opening. It was for me. But here it is, really, in the end. We're actually about to look at it right now. Look at letter number two. If children don't understand that behavior has outcomes, children have no fear of God. And can I say, one of the problems about being a kind parent, but not a parent who your child understands as their authority, is that they don't have consequences for their behavior because you're the kind parent and you don't want to get them in trouble. You don't want, and I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying the society is very lenient to give consequence and to express to our children that there are consequences, there are outcomes to your behavior, whether good or bad. But if children don't have that, then there's no barriers. And they'll just go do whatever feels good to them. And to be honest, our society is telling them to do that. And that is, I feel like that's abusive to a child more, as much as any abuse is to a child. to let them think that they can just live however they want and there's no outcomes, you won't be hurt by this, you just do whatever feels good to you, and then they're gonna become adults one day and find out that's not true. And they can't just do whatever they want. And they'll be like, what happened? My whole life I did whatever I want, it was great. Uh-huh. There's a lot of kids going to jail when they're 18. Because now they're accountable. Yeah. Anyway. So there's that. Have you acquainted your children to the sowing and reaping principle? Now, that is in the Bible. It's all throughout the Word of God, but very specifically in one passage it says that whatever you sow, you will reap. The things that you do have consequences. You're not going to sow corn and then reap tomatoes, right? And the Bible says if you sow corruption and if you do things that are wrong, then you're going to have consequences that are destructive. The Bible says if you sow destruction, you'll reap destruction. And if you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness, you see. And that's a principle of the Word of God. And so our children need to know if they're mean to their brothers, probably they're going to get in trouble. And if that's not true, at least people aren't going to like them. I think a lot of our children have low self-esteem because they're little jerks running around and like, no one likes me. Well, I think that a lot of the time is because you're not nice. And you want everyone to be nice to you, and you get it when it's the other way around, but not, you know, you see, and children need to have the understanding. Yeah. Anyway, nobody likes me. Well, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We like him. We still like him. And we need to tell them that. But we do need to help them understand. You know, you'd probably have better friends if you were nicer to people. Yeah. That's just one of the many things there. Okay. This is an important question. Who do your children have more fear of? You or God? That's a really important question. Who do your children have more fear of? You or God? To whom does your child feel more accountable to when he sins? Do they even think about the fact that when they disobey mom, they're really disobeying God who told them to obey mom? You see? Do your children obey you because God says to obey their parents or because you demand they obey their parents? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but if we make it between us and our child and I'm the moral authority and you better listen to me, you know what they're going to do? They're going to pick apart all the immoral things you've done in their mind and say, who are you to tell me? I know who you are, mom and dad. But whenever it's not about you and them, it's about God says. And God is, I'm not perfect. And I need the cross as much as you. We'll talk about that next week. But God has made me your authority. And I need to listen to God in being your authority. Or I'll be disobeying him. And you need to obey me as your authority or you'll be disobeying him. And we're both accountable to him. It's a much different story, isn't it? Yeah, it's a lot different. Otherwise, it's like, you've annoyed me and I'm going to tell you what it is. And man, that's a bad place to be. Yeah. Okay. Letter C. If we want our children to be the obedient, respectful children that God has called them to be, it begins with our decision to be the parents that God has called us to be. Right? Yeah. That's number one. All right. Number three. The heart determines behavior. We're going to spend most of our lesson today dealing with this. This is a really central part, and the book is actually called Shepherding a Child's Heart, and that's actually the subtitle of our lesson too. This is really central to really all that we're going to be talking about. So we've all heard this. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You ever heard that before? And what that means is when you look at an iceberg on the surface of a water, and you look at it, you only see about 10% of the iceberg. That means that 90% of the iceberg is underneath the water. That's a lot of the iceberg. And so the thing is that whenever you say that phrase, you see something, but you know there's something underneath that you don't see. Yeah. And when you look at a child's behavior as a parent, you are only seeing a small percentage of the true problem. Their behavior is a small little part of their real problem. And behavior is driven by the attitude of the heart. Let's turn to Proverbs 4:23. I apologize, we haven't really cracked open the Bible much. Kind of just talking about the issues that we have. So before we read that, let's look at letter B in our notes. The Bible teaches that the heart is the control center for life. That's the blank. The heart is the control center for life. A person's life is a reflection of his heart. So look in your Bible at 4:23. If you don't have your Bible with you, I have it right in our notes. But Solomon says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so the heart is like a well from which all the issues of life gush forth. Everything that we say, everything that we do is a reflection of our heart, okay? And that theme is all throughout the Word of God, okay? Every attitude that we have, every word that we say, every action that we make, every punch that is thrown, every toy that is taken, every attitude that they give is all streaming from their heart and from our heart. And so the behavior is not the basic issue. That's the blank. Unless I didn't give it to you, the blank. Behavior is not the basic issue. The heart is the issue. So parents, don't get sidetracked with behavior. What do you mean? Well, often the main goal of parenting is becomes simply changing a child's behavior. They're not acting the way I want them to act. Do what I say and act the way I want you to act and say the things I want you to say. And it becomes, parenting becomes an issue of how they are on the outside, if we can say it that way. It's all about their behavior. Bad behavior is irritating. And it becomes the focus of parenting. And parents think they have corrected the problem when the child has changed unacceptable behavior into behavior that you appreciate. That's kind of what we say whenever we see a child who's just in line, toeing the line with mom and dad. And by the way, if we just, again, get in a time portal and go to the 50s, you'll see a lot of children who have good behavior. And the problem with that is probably it's not streaming from a good place in their heart. It's streaming from a place in their heart that says, I hate my parents, but if I don't do what they say, I'm going to get it. And it's not, hey, that behavior is not any more godly than doing it because God says. You see? And so it all comes from the heart. Number two, just because you correct behavior into what you see as acceptable behavior does not mean the issue has been corrected. If you focus on behavior and parenting, you've missed the most important issue, which is your child's heart. A change in behavior does not stem from a change. I'm sorry. A change in behavior that does not stem from a change in heart is called hypocrisy. That's what the Pharisees were. They did all these outward things, but on the inside, they were not honoring God. And Jesus says, you honor God with your lips, but not with your heart. That's what the Pharisees were. Isn't that what hypocrisy is? Acting a way that you're not? Yeah. That's what. So what we do whenever we demand, you listen to me, or you're going to get it, we're creating little hypocrites who grow up to be big hypocrites. We know that's true, but we often parent our children that way. We parent our children to think one thing and act a different way. That's oftentimes what parenting becomes. And so then your child's behavior is driven. I'm sorry, this is just the reality. Your child's behavior is always driven by the attitude of their heart. It all stems back to their heart. And so what do you do? All right, Brother Chad, what do? Do I just let them do what they want, or do I correct them? Well, you have to require proper behavior. You have to. The Bible demands that. In fact, go to Ephesians 4:32 really fast. Now, we'll dig into this later on, but since we're here, let's go ahead and go to Ephesians. I have a paper right in the middle. Let me take this out. Ephesians 4:32. Now, there's like Romans, 1 Corinthians, and a lot of little books right there. It's in that general area. Okay, is everybody there? Oh, wait. That's not it. 6:23 is the right. No, that's not it either. Let me find it. Oh. Wait. Miss Peggy, help me out. Where's the verse I'm looking for? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I know. I take it for granted. I've got to find it. 6:1. Thank you, Miss Lisa. I knew it was right there. 6:1. So many Ephesians verses we memorized. There it is. Look at Ephesians 6:1. Here's what God demands for children. This is God's plan for children. This. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then, by the way, if the children do that, then verse 3, it will be well with who? Thee, which is who? The child. The child will be doing better if they obey and honor. And so we have to demand that proper behavior is followed. We can't just let them disobey and then just let it be okay because they don't really want to obey and their heart doesn't say, well, we can't do that either. But here's the thing. You cannot, however, be satisfied to leave the matter there. You can't just tell them, you obey me, and I'll do whatever it takes for you to obey me, and when you obey me, we're good, and leave it there. We can't leave it there. You must help your child ask the questions that will expose the attitude of the heart that resulted in the wrong behavior. What do you mean? You have to start thinking this way. And it's a big change in thinking, but you ask yourself the question, how did his heart stray to produce this behavior? Hey, if your child is acting up and your child has an attitude and your child's being rebellious and he will not listen, then what you know is there's something happening in their heart that caused them to be this way. We have to start thinking that way. We cannot just start thinking, they did this, so I will do this. We have to say, they did this. Why did they do that? What's going on in their heart? You see. In what characteristic ways has his inability or refusal to know, trust, and obey God resulted in actions and speech that are wrong? Now, that's a long sentence. Let me explain. God demands that a child obey his parents. That's what God commands, right? Obey and honor. That means respect, right? Mm-hmm. Respect and obey. If your child is not respecting or obeying you, well, then ultimately, we need to think this way. This was the first point we said. God exists. Ultimately, they're disobeying God, not just you, which is a sin. And that's what sin is, disobeying God. And so if your child is not obeying or honoring you, then they're disobeying God. And that disobedience or that dishonoring came from their heart. So we need to find out, where in their heart have they stopped trusting God or obeying God? Because it all starts in their heart. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you say thou shalt not murder. I say that if you've hated your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. That's what Jesus says. You say thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say if you lust after a lady in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. You see, and God's worried about their heart. And so if your child has acted up and if your child has gone and punched another kid in the face, well then, here's the thing, what caused that? There's some anger in his heart that needs to be dealt with, you see. Are you following? If your child says, no, Mom, I'm not going to do what you say, well then there's something, is a rebellion in their heart that has to be dealt with. And we don't just say, yes, you will, and make them. That was not going to help. What are we doing there? We're just producing little Pharisees that'll do whatever they say not to get in trouble. But instead, we need to find out what's happening in their heart. And it's a mind change, isn't it? Totally different than how we normally think. Yeah. Okay. Take this very familiar scenario, for example. This will help, I think. There are two children. I don't know where the or is. Sorry. There are two children playing, and a fight breaks out over a particular toy. The classic response is what? Who had the toy first? Right? Isn't that what you say? Who had the toy first? Well, that response misses the heart. Nothing has dealt with the heart there. Who had it first is an issue of justice. So we're, again, just the caretakers. We're the police. We're just going to get down to the bottom of this, and justice will be had. And that's kind of how we eventually we get to that place. So that's how our parenting is. But let's look at the issue from the perspective of the heart. Both children, pause, don't read ahead. Why is this even happening? Why are the children arguing over the toy at all? Well, both are displaying a hardness of heart toward the other, right? Both are being selfish, aren't they? Both are saying in their heart, now they probably don't say this outwardly. If they're two or three, sometimes they just say it outwardly. But eventually they learn how to hide it. And in their heart, they're saying, I don't care about you or your happiness. That's what they're saying to the other kid, isn't it? I am only concerned with myself. And the satisfaction I receive from this toy and my happiness depends on possessing it, and I will have it, and I will be happy regardless of what that means to you. Isn't that what's happening in their heart? Yep. How often do we deal with that part of it? Not a lot. I just think probably not a lot. Normally we're like, who had it first? You had it first? Okay, you go over there. You play with the toy. Done. Parenting, done. And we don't deal with the heart, you see. Did you see the difference between who had it first and the perspective of the heart? Number five, both children are sinning. Hey, it doesn't matter who had the toy first. Both of them, the reason why there's a big argument is because both of them are being selfish here. Now, one of them will probably get the toy in the end, and justice will be had. You see, and you'll deal with it, and you'll talk to each kid, and you'll figure it out, and you'll deal with the kid who is dealing with the anger from stealing their toy and exploding on the other kid, and you'll deal with the kid who's being selfish and didn't care about what that kid did and stole the toy, and you'll deal with both of them, but they're both wrong. Just because legally one gets the toy doesn't mean we've dealt with their heart at all. You see? And this, can you kind of tell the kind of the marrying of the two of the 1950s of you will do what's right and the today where we talk with them and they need to go together. There needs to be authority had. God demands that. But there also needs to be communication. There needs to be tenderness and kindness as we deal with our children and hold them accountable to God, you see. And so, they're both sinning. They both prefer themselves above others, which is in direct opposition to God's word. Their attitude is, I want my happiness even at your expense. Yeah. And so understanding this idea of the heart makes the heart the issue and not behavior, you see. Now, behavior is an issue because behavior helps us see where we have problems with the heart, you see. So behavior does matter, but in the end, it's not the main issue, it's the heart. Your concern with your child's heart will do wonders for them. You know why? Because they'll feel like you actually understand them. In the 50s, we said, you do what I say, I don't want to hear you, I don't care what you think, I don't care what's going on in you, you just do what I say. And we say, a child feels like they're not understood. And they just say, whatever, man, I'll do whatever. And then we have today where it's like, oh, you don't listen to me. You do whatever. I want to know how you feel. And that way, when I know how you feel, we'll know how you can act and what's okay. And then we only care about understanding, but no authority. And it takes both. Children need to know that they're understood and loved. And they also need to know that they're under authority. They need both, you see. Yeah. So we'll help them see their sin and help them to understand how it reflects a heart that has strayed from God. And again, as we deal with their heart, and we'll talk about this, as we deal with their heart, we need to keep pushing it back to you're wrong with God here, and we need to make this right. And as your authority and as your parent, God has placed me in this position to help you make it right with him, you see. And that's kind of what we'll talk about next week. So it reveals to them their need of a savior. Hey, a child who doesn't know that they sin doesn't know they need to be saved, you see. If they just live their whole life thinking, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Mom and dad say I can just do whatever I want. I express myself. Why am I doing anything wrong? I'm not under anyone's authority. I'm not accountable to anybody. Well, then they're going to find it hard to feel like they're accountable to a holy God, you see. Yeah. And it gives the opportunity for them to see the glories of God who sent Christ to change and set people free from their sin. And I'm telling you, if you deal with it this way, you're going to have a lot of conversations, and you're going to feel like you're constantly on their case, telling them how wicked they are. It's going to feel that way. But listen, two things. It'll help them to change some things in their heart, and they'll be less wicked, but they'll still be wicked. But secondly, they'll begin to understand, wow, I really do have some issues. And God is good to send Jesus to die to help us and to change hearts, you see. And we'll lead them toward the cross and not toward self-dependence. And you, as long as you do what I say, everything's good. And I don't need God. And we sometimes produce good kids who are convinced they are good kids. And no, they don't need God because they're already good, you see. And there's an issue there. And we're going to deal with that a lot next week. So, conclusion, we'll be done. God has given us a plan for parenting our children. This is just in conclusion, some final thoughts. As Christians, we ought not to turn to the world to learn how to raise our children. The world is confused and constantly changing its mind when it comes to the matter of parenting. We should not simply try the form of parenting we feel will work the best. I think we fall in that trap. And so because there are so many ways of parenting, we listen to them all and we'll throw God's way in there, and then we'll evaluate all the ways and God's ways and which one do we think is going to work the best. We can't do that. We must go to scriptures for the answers. We must have faith in God's plan for parenting. We must have faith in the fact that the Bible is robust enough to provide us with all that we need to parent our children. We cannot try to blend God's way and the world's way of parenting together. They're in opposition to each other. They don't agree. And you can't just cram them together. It never works. We need to understand our task as parents biblically. And then the heart is the wellspring of life. You must learn to work from behavior you see back to the heart, exposing the issues for your children. And so you see the iceberg. You need to learn to get under the water a little bit and see what's happening down there, you see. You must learn to engage them, not just reprove them. Do you see the difference in that? We're not just reproving, we're not just yelling, we're not just telling them you listen or else. We need to engage them and talk to them and find out what's happening. Now, you'd be surprised how willing they are to talk to you if they feel like you actually care about what they think. This proposition will inform everything you do as parents. It will dictate your parenting goals, which we'll talk about that in later lessons. It will inform your parenting methods, which we'll get to that in lessons to come. And it will shape your model of how your children develop, and we'll talk about that in our lessons to come. So here's what it is. This is fundamental. You need to get to the heart. And there's not a lot of, there's some practicality just automatic here, right? But I haven't given you a lot of practical stuff yet. We'll get to that. But I promise you, if you just start thinking different, start thinking God is real. I'm accountable to God to be their parent. The child is accountable to God as me being their parent. There's that. And then you start thinking it's not all about what they do and say. It's really all about what's going on in their heart. If you start thinking that way, you'd be surprised at how that alone will begin to change how you parent. But we'll be giving you practical stuff as we go along. All right, well, let's pray and we'll be done for today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, the way that your word helps us to understand what it is that you've called us to do as parents. and just as authorities over children, I pray that you help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to remember throughout the week that you are real and that we're accountable to you, and help us to instill that in our children as well. And God, I pray that you help us, Lord, to learn the discernment to be able to understand our child and talk and engage with our child and understand what it is that's happening in their heart. Give us that help, Lord. We need your help for that. I pray that you bless our lessons to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.